in page 12 in your hymnals, page 12, Rock of Ages. Let's all stand, shall we? Page 12, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from my ribbon side which flow. Second, could my tears never fall? Could my sin no anger know? My use for sin could not atone. Thou must save and thou alone. In my hand, Christ I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. While I drove in fleeting breath, when my life showed close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see me on thy judgment throne. Rock of Ages, let for me, let me hide myself in thee.
John probably knew this, but don't you expect the author, one of the authors of that song, to be called Augustus Toplady? See it?
Yeah.
Augustus Toplady. I mean, we think of this old song, hymn, written before Jesus. I don't know. But the name, the other guy, Thomas Hastings, but the other one, Augustus Toplady. Interesting. Well, you sounded pretty good for Sunday night. How many of you had a nap? How many of you wish you had a nap? How many are planning on sleeping tonight? I mean, during church. I mean, tonight. Like, yeah, I'm going to go home and go to bed. I mean, slow crowd. I got to change my message again. Thought you were up, but oh well. Ready to pray? Pray with me, would you? Father, we are glad that we can be born again. We're glad that we can be in your house. We're glad that we can praise you. And now, Lord, help us to leave here with new energy, able to live better for you. Help us in our Christian life. You said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I pray that we would just feel tonight like our Christian life is new, like it's worth everything that we can give it, that nothing will be spared, and that we will just go all out because of what you've done for us. Thank you for what you've done for us. That's why we're here, because of what you've done for us. Thank you that we can be together. Please, God, encourage us and bless us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated.
Page 8 in your hymnals, When Morning Gilds the Skies. Page 8. Christ be praised on the floor.
Don't look at me like that. I like it. I don't know what a guild is. And I don't need to know because it just sounds cool. And I'm not sure what a canticle is. I don't know if that's like a war. I don't know. But that's a beautiful song. Ushers, would you come? You're giving tonight to the Lord, not to the church. You're giving to the Lord. You understand that? It's about him. So we would encourage you, give that way. God holds you accountable for your giving. He wants you to give because he is worth it. So when you give, that's what you're doing. You know the week, you could see it there, Awana begins, and you'll be praying. If you're not involved in it, you'll at least be praying. We want young people to be reached. We still have midweek, and we're going to have church because we need it, right? The kids need what they're getting. We need what we're getting, and so I would just encourage you. You ought to be here. I'm encouraged when you're here. Even when you sleep, at least you're here. You're taking up space. We need that. Jail service on Thursday. If you can help with the food, there's a box there, and Awana needs help. See Roger. If you in any way can help, bus, pray. How many of you can pray for one? Do that. Man, that can do so much more. Doesn't matter if we just pray. God can get a hold. Those young kids need it, man. They go through so much. We don't know what they're going through. We hear some of it. We don't know what they're going through. They come here. Sometimes it may just be to get out of the house. Not that the parents would ever just send them here to get them out of the house. Sometimes that, but God can still get a hold of their heart, right? I only went to church and heard the gospel because Amy asked me to go. I wouldn't go, you know, I think I'm going to go to church and get preached at. I would never go. But she invited me, so I went with the wrong intention to sit next to her. And the preacher preached at me the whole time. Pointed at me, spit over at me a couple times and missed. And I felt like I was the only one there. He greeted me goodbye and said, you know, you need to be born again if you're not. I thought, boy, I'm never coming back here again. Talked to Amy that week. Want to go to church again? Yeah, I certainly do. I went. I didn't want to go through all that again. I mean, her mom was already beating me up every time I'd greet Amy at the door. Her mom would come over. I prayed for you today. And I got into heaven. Because somebody cared enough to pray about me. Amen. What's a man advantaged? If a man has 100 sheep and loses one, does he just say, I got 99? He goes after the one. Thank God somebody came after me. Amen. You never know. Lord, we pray tonight that our hearts will be stirred, that we'll realize what you did for us. We just need to see it. We need to know what a big deal it is that you left heaven to die for us. Thank you for that, Lord. That is enough for me to praise you and worship you and obey you constantly. Thank you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Choir, please take your hymnals once again. Page 6 in your hymnals. I sing the mighty power of God. Page 6. Let's all stand, shall we?
I sing of a mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the
Kenzie's coming to sing now.
Amen. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Ben was looking at you, Kenzie, like he could do a better job. Like I could do that. How many of you could do that? Okay. How many of you couldn't do that? Mark chapter 2. She can't either. But she's doing it for God. So God allows her to do that. Thank you, Kenzie. And the lady playing the piano, whoever that was, thank you. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Buckle up. Buckle up. Mark chapter 2. Familiar story. Not unknown to you. You've heard it. If you've been here, you've heard it here. Say you've preached this before? No. Preach from this chapter. I preach from this story. But I try not to re-preach. That's good. The day's coming, hey. It's been 38 years. So one of these years, I'm going to have to go back, and you're going to go, I think I heard that one before 35 years ago. And I'll do that. But it's fun that the Bible can still be fresh. So I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, too familiar. And I almost heard the Lord say, let me worry about that. So I'm going to let him. I'm just doing what I think he wants me to do. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. It's going to be hard to read this and not stop. And I kept telling myself, just read it. And then my other self said, because there's two of me. My other self said, no, just, hey. So we'll see who wins. Mark chapter 2, Mark is just beginning his gospel about Jesus. Jesus is just beginning his ministry. The disciples have followed him, according to Mark. Everything with Mark. In fact, I'm looking at chapter 1, and you know one of the reasons I like Mark, because he does everything straightway. So in chapter 1, verse 12, he uses the word immediately. And it's like Mark wants things to move along quickly. In verse 18 of chapter 1, he uses the word straightway. In verse 20 and verse 21, he uses the words straightway. In verse 28, he uses the word immediately. In verse 31, he uses the word immediately. In verse 42, he uses the word immediately. You say, you have those marked? Yeah. I like it to move. So you get to chapter 2, and you realize that Mark is going to move on into the life, through the life of Christ. There are things that he does not cover that Matthew and Luke cover. They're longer gospels. So Mark gets right in to this story, chapter 2, verse 1, and again, he entered into Capernaum some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. People ought to know where God is. They ought to know they can find him here. Don't say, you ought to come hear our preacher. You ought to say, you ought to come hear about our God. Hey, because I could go nutty. I mean, I could lose my sanity. And I know what some of you are thinking. You're close. Amen. As long as I preach Jesus, it should be noised that he's here. Nothing else matters. Doesn't matter how he's preached. It matters that he's preached. Doesn't matter how he's sung about. It matters that we sing about him. That's my second favorite song. It as well is my first favorite song. You're not supposed to do this, but I'm just going to tell you. It as well is my favorite song. Great is thy faithfulness, my second favorite song. And my third favorite song is Stairway to Heaven. You have no sense of humor. Some of you are going to have a hard time in heaven. And I'm going to make sure you have a hard time. Hey, you won't be able to get away with me. No locks on your doors in heaven. I'm walking right in. I just heard the door. You'll say, you'll be alone. Sorry. And I'll yell, it's Vito! You'll go, oh no. I'm going to harass you. I'm going to bother you. Just so you know. You say, well, I don't want to go. Tough. No, I won't. No, I won't. I'll just fly around you. I'll hit you with my harp. Okay, quit it now. Back to verse 1. What did they noise? They noise that they knew where Jesus was. Do you know where he is? We better. We better know he's here. You better pray about it. You better make sure that you go to a church where he is. Oh, I really like the music there. Not here for the music. We're here because the music talks about him. We have to noise that. We have to make sure people know that. It was not, verse 1, it was noise that he was in the house. Man, I like that. Thank you, Mark. That's what we're supposed to do. Let them know. Hey, you may not be able to tell someone or don't want to tell them how to get to heaven, but if you know where he is, you can tell them where he is. You ought to come to church. We could talk to them. The music, the preaching will convict them. If you don't feel up to saying to them, hey, have you died tonight? Are you sure you go to heaven? You could noise, hey, I know where Jesus is. Everybody needs help. Everybody knows, not so much now, but everybody is conscious, you know, of religion. Maybe I need religion. It isn't religion. It was noise that he was in the house. I worship him. I'm saved because of him. Verse 2. And straightway. Thank you, Mark. Mark wants to get going. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. And look at how he adds, no. I think it's neat. No, he wants to make sure that we know there's no room. Place is packed. Don't take this wrong. Church ought to be packed. If what we believe is true, church ought to be packed. So that's your job. No, that's our job. No room. He doesn't say, boy, it's tight. He said there, verse 2, there were many gathered together insomuch there was no room to receive them. No. Not so much as about the door. And it says he preached the word unto them. Isn't it funny that they're there for him, but what does he do? He didn't say, have a good look. Look at me now. Look at me. It says he preached the word. So does that help you with all the harping? No offense, Bernadette. All the harping? Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Find Jesus. Go to the Bible. Yeah, because when Jesus came, he didn't just say, look at me. What do you think, huh? He preached the word to them. Verse 3. I love Mark. Mark is just matter of fact. No explanation. And, look at verse 3. And they come unto him. Who? I'm reading it going, who's he talking about? He's just telling this story as concise as he can. You don't need names. You don't need a description. You know, two Dagos, a Polack, and a Jew. It's just four men. They come unto him, bringing one. That's what he wants us to know. They, bringing one. You know, when you got saved, it was probably because of more than one person. I know my mother-in-law, who wasn't my mother-in-law, I know she told her preacher. Because every time he would greet me, he'd hold on to me. And in my mind, I'm going, let go. Man, listen to me. I am lost. I don't want to be there. I just told you why I was there. I don't want to be there. Now he's holding on to me. That's where I got it. One hand, he's grabbing my hand. He's grabbing my forearm. He's pulling me in. Talking to me. Let me go. You know you need to be born again. I've heard that before. Mark tells us that they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Now it says took four guys. And when they could not come nigh, close. They couldn't get close. They felt like they needed to get close. Nigh means close, near. They uncovered the roof. Doesn't talk about how they walked up to the roof. Mark avoids all the details. He just says, guy was sick. They brought him to Jesus. The guy's well. And you and I go, that's all I need. I mean, that you know Mark's a guy. Right? Remember that? Get your hair done. Yep. Ask a lady to get your hair done. You'll hear all about the beautician, all about everybody in the beauty shop, all the things that were happening around the beauty shop, everything that she heard in the beauty shop. And you're going, I just asked you if you got your hair done. A guy goes, yeah. Get a haircut? Yeah. Ask a woman, get your hair done? Well, let me tell you. And then it rolls into this small book. Mark says, four guys, one sick one, roof is broken up. How'd you get up there? I want details. I want to know, what, how'd you get up on the roof? Helicopter? I mean, what's going on? Mark, that's not important. What is important? Here's what he says. They uncovered the roof where he was. So they got to calculate where he is. They're running up down the steps. Mark didn't tell you this, but he told me this. I had a dream, and Mark told me this. One guy's running up down the steps going, man, he's about four cubits. I have a tape measure. He's about four cubits in. Wait, I'll be right back. He runs around. He's about six cubits from the other. So they're up on the roof, you know. And then they find the spot, you know, and mark it. Then they call the people to make sure they're not going to cut into a line. Some of you just don't, you're not. So they uncover, they just dig it up. Go to the county city and be like, hey, we're going to tear up a roof. No, you're not. You need four permits for that. And three permits for the four. I just need to know that Jesus can help me. I don't need details. Mark is saying, look, they got right over where he was. That's why Mark put that there. They didn't just break up the roof and go, where is he? I mean, you imagine if he broke up the roof over some of you? Hey, quit that! I would. Stuff falling on you. You know they're going to drop through. So they go right where he was, and that's what Mark says, where he was. And when they had broken it up, I don't know if they drilled a pilot hole. Is that him? Yeah, I don't know. That, I think, make a bigger hole. So they made a bigger hole. They're looking down. By this time, don't you know, with all the commotion, as they're poking a hole to find out where to poke the big hole? Because I don't know if you've ever let a guy through a roof, but you need a bigger hole than a pilot hole. So after they got the pilot hole in, can't you see Jesus going? And maybe giving them a, they're like, hey, we got to go. Man, they start ripping up the roof. Everybody's fretting. But Jesus, I'm going to prove to you that I'm right. So everybody's like, this is crazy. If you own the house, would you be going, I need a new roof anyways? They break, verse 4, when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. That's a big deal. Mark makes it sound like, you know, they dropped a paper plate through the hole. Guy's on a bed. He can't hold on. You know, do you tell him, can you hold on? No. Well, hold on. I can't. Well, you better hold on because, man, so that's a big hole. Hey, because you tip that dude. Sorry, Crystal. You tip that dude. He's sliding right off that thing. So they make it big enough. And it isn't like, you know, they went and the hole went. They're ripping it up. Hello. It's taken some time. I think Jesus didn't stop. I think he kept talking. I think he was so mesmerizing that they got lost in what he was saying. That's why there were so many people there. They weren't just nosy. They knew there was something about him they needed. So as the roof is being broken up, they're just glued on him. Say, well, I'm going to ask him when I get there. Ask him. He'll say, your preacher was right. Well, go ahead and waste your time. Verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith. You know what hit me? How many times have I read that? You know what hit me? Faith. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. Listen, the evidence of things not seen. You're supposed to see faith. It's supposed to be something about us that people see that make them think of Jesus. Jesus has watched these guys. He's heard these guys. He's waited while these guys ripped up this hole in the roof. He's Jesus. He knows what's going on. He doesn't look up and go, what are they doing? He knows. Everything you go through and every time you try to evidence your faith, he already knows. He'd take about, why would they do that? Why are they ripping the roof up? Sometimes he's going to let you rip it up. Could he have gone up to the roof? Could they have gotten to him and said, man, we're going to rip this roof up. Oh, no, let me come up there. There's a reason that he wants us to rip up the roof so he can see and others can see what he can do. Verse 6. Well, finish verse 5. He saw their faith. He said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. There goes Mark again. What's important? Being able to walk and go to hell? Or being paralyzed and going to heaven? Mark opts for going to heaven. So it's like Mark says, hey, what Jesus said, thy sin, you believe I can help you, you must believe who I am. Everybody else did. Remember, Mark told us that the place is packed. He's in the house. You can't even get near the place. And these guys wanted so desperately to get nigh or near him that they rip up the roof. And Jesus sees that and he doesn't say, man, you guys, what an inspiration you are. And you want your buddy healed, don't you? Man, that's great. No, he just, thy sins be forgiven thee. There were some Baptists there. Verse 6. Certain in the Greek is Baptist. I'm kidding. Hey, Lakeside Baptist people or whoever you are, why can't we just believe him? Is he believable? Well, then why can't we just believe him? I mean, I certainly believe he can forgive my sins because I called on him and I was there and he did and I could tell he did something. And I know now, especially after 50 years of being in his word, that it's done. I don't have to, verse 6, I don't have to reason anything. I just have to read. Notice their reasoning in their hearts. Can you see their faces? Hey, the doubters, they've got the doubters look. I mean, if Jesus just saved someone and these guys went through all that trouble, wouldn't you kind of be excited? Wouldn't you think, boy, this is going to be a good meeting? I mean, it's already been good. And boy, this is going to get gooder. I know. Shirley's not here, so I could talk like that. Pray for Ken. They were on the way. Something's going on with Ken's health. Pray for Ken. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for Ken. I pray that you would just figure this out. I don't know if they're running to the doc, the hospital, I don't know, but I know that you know, and I know that you can take care of it. So be with him. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Say, I'm not used to doing that. Get used to doing it. You're welcome. I know that what Jesus says is true. I get in trouble when I try to figure it out. He, verse 7, they say, why doth this man? I'm assuming this isn't out loud. I'm assuming they're perplexed. They don't agree with it. They don't like it. Why does this man speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sin? They didn't know who he was. You know who he is? Do you know who he is? You know who he is? Who? Verse 7, who can forgive sin but God only? Hey, friends, hey, you doubters, this is God. Not everybody there came because they like him. They came to find something about him they didn't like. verse 8. Thank you, Mark. See verse 8? And immediately. Hey? Don't you love Mark? Me and Mark would be kindred. We'd be dancing around. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. We'd be zooming around. Everything fast. And verse 8 says, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, wouldn't it be terrible if you didn't say something out loud, but you were thinking it, and he answered it? Wouldn't you go, wow, wow? He said to them, look at verse 8, why reason ye these things in your heart? In other words, I am God. I'm reading your mind. I'm reading your hearts. He said to them, whether is it easier? Isn't everything easy for God? When you pray, God doesn't go, that's a big one. Everything's easy for God. When I got saved, he already took care of the answer. He would just wait for me to come. So when I came, he said, finally. And it's easy. And some of us have gone through things that God has taken care of, whether it's healing, whether it's a miraculous answer to prayer. Why? Because it's all easy to him. So he says to them, verse 9, whether is it easier, say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. So if I tell him, get up and walk, you all will be amazed. But his biggest problem is his sin. Verse 10, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, go thy way into thine house. Verse 12, here's Mark again. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch your Bible should say they were all amazed. The doubters are amazed. The doubters, you know, I looked up the word amazed. I know what it means. I still don't know what a guild is or a canticle, but I'm going to look those up. But I looked up amazed. And you know, it comes from the word insane. In other words, it just didn't make any sense. It says there, verse 12, they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. This is a great miracle. I can't imagine how Jesus could keep talking with all the distraction. You know me. Hey, there's a fly behind me, I'm distracted. I'm just, one time we were having church and a big hot air balloon came right down in the parking lot. I remember because John Phillips ran out there. He goes, man, what's going on? Did they crash? So he runs out there. And they go, hey, man, we landed in your church parking lot, and we've got a bottle of champagne. Every time we land, we open the champagne and celebrate. And he said, not here. He said, if my pastor finds out, he said, you need to cap that, do it somewhere else. So they did. Because he told me that later. And I go, thank you. Thank you for doing that. Four men bring one man. They don't care about the crowd. They don't care about the roof. They don't care about the owner of the roof. They don't care about any other person in that crowd. They don't care about the inconvenience. They don't care about their own selves. They don't care how heavy the man is. They don't care about the labor to dig up the roof. Listen to me. They only care about getting this man to Jesus. It's all that matters. They didn't pray about it. Mark never said, well, they prayed about it. God told them to carry. They just said, verse 3, and they come unto him. That's what you do. When you know he can do it, you just, hey, Jesus can take care. You pray. We need to pray with people. We need to pray with each other. We need to know what God can do. Jesus sees, verse 5, he sees what they're doing. That's what faith looks like. It's active. It isn't, you have faith? Yeah, I have faith. Yeah, you believe? Oh, I believe. Carry your friend, he's heavy. See, that place is packed. Not these guys. These guys decide they're going to take their friend to Jesus. They get close, and now their minds are going, man, it's packed. Mark tells us there's not even room about there. Can't get in the door. You can't get close to the door. Everybody's inside. One of these guys, 2, 3, all 4 said, go on the roof. We'll go right through the top. It'll be harder to dig a hole, but we'll go through the roof. We can't go from the bottom up. We'll go from the top down. And they did. But, verse 6, but there were certain. You've got to make a decision in your life that you're going to go forward for God or you're going to listen to what everybody says. Just give them a respectful nod. If they go, you're crazy, just go, don't argue it. Don't spend time fussing with them. You're not going to convince them. Just show them, listen to me, show them what faith looks like. You can't reason them into faith. You got to show them. That's why Jesus, when they were fussing, goes, I'm sorry, this is my take on it. All right. Get up and walk. Guy jumps up. They were insane, amazed. Why? Because of what they saw. Remember, he said to them, you need to know, verse 10, that the Son of Man has power. They didn't care about that. They don't want to hear sermons. You know, that's most of the world. They don't want to hear your sermon. They don't want to read your tract. They want to see your faith. Amen, preacher. Amen. Amen, preacher. They want to see your faith. You could talk. They don't want to hear it. They want to see it. They didn't give up. Let me give you 2 points and we're all done. Number one, if you have real faith, if you say, I'm going to get to Jesus because I know that he can do what needs to be done. If that's true, number one, your faith, and I'm choosing this word on purpose. I'm not trying to impress you. But this word is so, it's just good. Faith will make you persistent. You will persist no matter what. It's connected, related, I like this. It's related to the word persevere. Are you listening? Class, are you listening? Contained in the word persevere is the word severe. Faith is severe. It's impossible to please God without faith. 4 times the Bible tells us the just shall live by sight. Faith. These men make a choice to get to Jesus no matter what. I know you know this story. And the way they got there was they persevered. They saw this situation as severe. That means it might be demanding, it might be difficult, it might be intense, but it had to be done. And boy, sometimes you and I are going to have to live that way. You don't know that we won't go through persecution. Well, Trump's in the White House. You don't know. You don't know. They were persistent. They persevered. That's what Jesus saw. Verse 5, that's what he saw. He wasn't impressed. Look at them guys, how strong they are. He wasn't impressed because they balanced the guy and didn't drop him off the stretcher. He wasn't impressed because they were weak little spindly nothings. And boy, how could they carry that guy? He was impressed by their persistence. He was impressed by their perseverance. The man couldn't help, but he's got friends who are convinced that Jesus could. So Jesus knows that these men have faith. You know there are people all around us who are hurting, who can't help themselves. They don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. Hey, if you died right now, you go into heaven, what's the common response? Oh, I hope so. Well, that ain't going to get you in. Show them what faith looks like. Hey, someone thanked me this morning. Thank you for your intensity. I don't get up and go, okay, I'm going to be intense. How? I'm glad God saved me. Hey? Somebody told me this morning, well, if you're getting paid by the decibel, it was a good payday. Hey, the decibels aren't there for the money. The decibels are there because of him. Sometimes we might just have to concentrate on one. Boy, it's nice to catch a whole bunch of fish, isn't it? Throw out a big net, get a whole bunch. How many did you get? 24. Boy, it may take us time just to get one. One. I think back, and boy, when I see them, I thank them. So many men were instrumental. I mean, over a dozen were instrumental in my dad getting saved. It wasn't just my prayer. It was men that would go in the barbershop just to meet him. And they tried to show him what faith looked like. And they talked to him. And they sat in his chair as he cut their hair. And they witnessed to him when they got the opportunity. Sometimes it takes more than four. But we have to be persistent. And you may need to ask God tonight to bring that one person to your mind. Man, they're everywhere. They're all over the place. You don't have to try to witness. You just got to pick who you're going to witness to. They're everywhere. You can just see it. Man, they look rough. They look rugged. You and I just need to decide that we're going to do what we've got to do. We got to believe that Jesus can make a difference. And I'm so glad for this church. I'm glad for a church where we can come and encourage each other and hear each other's stories and pray for each other. And we can work together to help someone who needs Christ. That one man needed four men to get him to Jesus. One man with a good intention could not get him to Jesus. When you say, pray for me, I don't go, how many of you got praying for you? Man, we'll take all we can get. Faith, listen to me, faith makes you persistent. Number two, faith ignores the critics. Have you ever witnessed someone, they go, you know what? I had a mom and she got sick and I asked God to heal her and God didn't heal her. What kind of God is that? That's a criticism of God. They didn't like the way God did something. And I always respond, I'll ask him when I get to heaven. If I was supposed to know, if you were supposed to know, but you're not God. And I may say, let me tell you what he told Job. Where were you when I made the heavens? I go, God's ways are so higher. We can't understand God. I don't always like what he does, but I just have to trust him. I have to trust him. People are going to criticize you. Your family will criticize you. I'm sure somebody in that room, as they're watching this hole being torn in the roof, someone said, hey, you gonna fix that? They miss this guy in a stretcher. They see the hole in the roof. They miss the guy on the stretcher. You with me? What's important? The roof? No. What's important? Who's going to fix it? No. What's important? How much it costs? I don't know. Ask Jesus when you get there. Couldn't Jesus just go? Or what? I know. I'm sorry to give you the I dream a genie thing. I mean, after everything done, couldn't he just, right? If he can raise the dead, heal the crippled, give sight to the blind. I mean, it's not a big deal for him. Don't let the crowd or the roof or the labor stop you. Don't let the critics stop you. If they don't get it, they don't understand it. Hey, you just keep showing them what faith is. And according to verse 12, they will go insane. Because we're going to show them what Jesus can do. Let's pray that way, can we? Let's pray knowing that God can do so much. Can I just share something with you and we'll be done? Exodus chapter 14. Can you go there? Exodus chapter 14. Another familiar story. I'm not trying to dazzle you with something you've never heard before. I'm a reminder. I'm not, let me expose great truths to you. I'm not that. I'm like, push you, shove you, you know, rally you up. Get out there and do it. That's what I need, and I'm just reminding you. So the children of Israel have escaped Egypt. They come, Exodus 14. Let's read it. Can we read it? Exodus 14, you're there. Verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pirah, between me and the sea, over against before it shall ye encamp by the sea. Okay, so you're trying to pronounce those words? Don't look at the hole in the roof. Move on. Verse 3, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. Verse 4, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know. See it? That the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now look, you. I know your brain. I know this story. He parts the Red Sea. Yeah, but it's fun to read, right? Verse 5, it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. The heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot, took his people with him. Verse 7, he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord, verse 8, the Lord. Boy, I tell you what, you can get all your chariots lined up. You can think you are the best warrior. But if God gets involved in this, you are a dead duck. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. But watch, why? He hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them. All the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen, all. And overtook them, verse 9, encamping by the sea. Verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. And behold, the Egyptians marched after them. Are you there, verse 10? They were so afraid. You know why God wants you to have faith? So you know he's the only one that can do it. Why are they afraid? Because they're in trouble. Children of Israel, end of verse 10, cried out unto the Lord. They said, verse 11, unto Moses. This is such a smart aleck statement. I'm going to find one of them when I'm in heaven. And I'm going to, I don't know, it's going to be hard not to slap them. Here's what they said. Because, verse 11, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this, verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Boy, I've had it with them already, and I'm not even there. I would have said, fine, die. Moses responds, verse 13. Moses said to the people, thank God Moses listened to the Lord. Moses said, fear ye not. Stand still. And what? See. See, not feel, not reason. God's going to work. You're going to, verse 13, you're going to see it. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will show. Faith has to be seen. But you got to believe him. You got to fear not. You got to stay still. And let him work. He said there, for the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Do you think Moses is being a little emphatic there? The Egyptians, hey, look at me, here's Mark. The Egyptians, no more forever. Verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. In other words, hold your peace means shut your mouth. Don't criticize. Don't complain. I think verse 15 is fabulous. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Do you see what God is saying? Sometimes he's not waiting for us to pray. You know what he's waiting for? Look at what he says. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Well, we're going to pray about that. And God says, I don't want to hear it. Quit crying to me. Get going. That means march. Go forward. March. I'm here. I set it fight for you. Verse 16. But lift thou up thy rod. Stretch out thine hand over the sea. Divide it. The children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Verse 17. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. They shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his host, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen. You know why God keeps saying that? Because he's saying what you're worrying about now will be gone forever. Nil, void, zero. Verse 19, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came, verse 20, it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, to the Egyptians. But it gave light by night to these, to the children of Israel. So that the one came not near the other all night. Now the Egyptians are spooked. Now what do we do? Let's just hold back. And it was darkness. They're in darkness. They don't want to move. They don't want to go through the water. They don't want to be in the water. They don't want to make a wrong move. They don't want to turn around and go the wrong way. Isn't it great that God knows what he's doing? Who would think of that? God would. That which he used all through the wilderness journeys, now all of a sudden he uses in their favor. Verse 21, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them in their right hand on their left. Verse 23, the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians. You don't have to pray. You don't have to pray. You just have to let God fight for you. He knows how to cause your enemies trouble. You have to say, Lord, I will take them all the way. And God, look, that's why God wants you to hold your peace. Hey, close your mouth. Just let God do what he does. We act like, oh, I'm going to help God. You know, maybe he needs. God doesn't need you. God sees this whole thing. He knows what to do. They're all panicky. They're fretting. We're going to die. We should have stayed in Egypt. Verse 25, what'd God do? He took off their chariot wheels. Say, that was a bad mechanic. No, that was God. Took off their chariot wheels. They drove them heavily. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. That's what they saw. That's what they know is happening. The Lord said, verse 26 unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, upon their horsemen. Moses, verse 27, stretched forth his hand over the sea. The sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters, verse 28, returned, covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained, look at verse 28, there remained not so much as one of them. And then he explains again, but remember verse 28, Verse 29, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand, on their left. Thus, verse 30, the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel, are you there? I need you to be there. Are you there? I need you there. Look at verse 30. And Israel what? Saw. They didn't see till they thought they were going to die. They didn't see until they wished they were back in Egypt. And then God said, let me do this. They saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Verse 31. And Israel, are you there? I need you there. Verse 31. And Israel saw. that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. If I would have got to the Red Sea, my temptation would have been, as yours, to turn around and go back. That's exactly what the devil wants. See, God allows those times in our lives so that we'll trust him and he'll get the glory. Don't let an obstacle, don't let a roof, don't let critics cause you to give up. Don't quit. Be persistent. There are some voices you're going to have to ignore. The sitters, I'm done. The sitters criticize the Lord. You say, what do you mean? Look at verse 6, Mark 2. There were certain of the scribes, doesn't say there. Words are important. Hey, folks, words are important. Doesn't say that the certain were there. It says they were sitting there. Your faith is hard to see when you're just sitting there. I have faith, preacher. I have faith. I can't see anything. You ought to be inviting people. You ought to be witnessing to people. You ought to be doing something for the Lord. You ought to be busy in the church, working in Awana, working in the nursery, ushering, doing something. Be busy. Don't sit there and go, you know, if I was him. Really? Really? Don't be satisfied just because you think you know all the answers. I want to live my life helping others get close to Jesus. When I die, I want the Lord to say, you did your best. You did what you could to get people to Jesus. Or he's going to say, why were you just sitting there? Well, they needed supervision. They needed someone to point out what they were doing wrong. Doesn't that sound dumb? Wouldn't you rather say, man, I was busy. I broke up the roof. You think God's going to go, you what? We just have to do whatever we have to do. You may need to fast and pray. You say, I'm praying about someone, they're not getting saved. You know, you may need to fast and pray. You heard me, I think, right? You may need to say, I'm going to give up a meal and I'm going to pray for them. You may say, I'm going to give up a day of eating just to pray for them. God gave you faith so others could see it. He sees it. What do others see? See you sitting there? Yeah, my church. Do something. Do something. Pray with me, your head bowed, your eyes closed. Lord, help us to be active. And as we're active, help us to be persistent. Help us to, you told us when we take the armor of God and to pray that we should do it with all perseverance. You didn't say that about any other piece of the spiritual armor, but you said it about prayer. I don't know what you're saying, and I want to listen. I want to hear you speak to me. But I've spoken this because I believe you want to speak to someone else, so I am just giving this that you might take it and use it how you want. I want people to see my faith. I don't want them to hear about it. I want them to see it. And if they see it, they'll listen to me. They'll want to hear. I want you to just amaze them. I want you to make them think they're going insane by what you do. I want you to do great and mighty things, the Bible says, which we know not. Help us to live like that. Help us to make that choice. Help us to say, I'm going to do what I got to do. I don't care how hard it is, and I don't care what anybody else says. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. God, it may be that you need to lay someone on our heart that needs help. Might be a Christian who needs help. Might be a lost person who needs help. But may we be persistent about helping them. May we ignore anything that would try to keep us from helping them. Your head bowed, your eyes closed. Hey, preacher, God's speaking to my heart tonight. Doesn't matter so much to me. I'm just trying to get you to respond. You say, hey, preacher, my head's bowed, my eyes are closed. God's speaking to my heart tonight about something. I just want you to know, here's my hand. Here's my hand. Here's my hand. There's somebody in my life. I can't see them. I can't say their name. But boy, I'm willing. If God will just show me that person, I'll do whatever I have to do. Is that you? Is that you? Here's my hand. Head's bowed. Eyes closed. Lift it up. Here's my hand. Here's my hand. Here's my hand. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you can do. Moses just lifted up his hand, but you did all the work. He lifted up his hand because you told him to. He lifted up the rod because he believed you. You're the one that split the sea. Help me to be willing to do what you tell me to do. And I know that you need to do the big stuff. I want to believe you, Lord. Others in this room, others watching, want to believe you. Help us in Jesus' name. Piano's playing. You're standing. Would you stand? If you're going to come, would you tell your feet to move? Devil's going to tell you, you don't need to move. Just stay there. You're not that bad. You don't need to do anything. Hey, listen to God. Listen to the Spirit of God. And you may have to say to your feet, come on, feet. We're going up there. Come on, feet. Come on, feet. Let's go. Let's go. Say, well, I can't kneel. Don't worry about kneeling. If you want to stand up here, stand. If you want to sit, sit. If you want to kneel at the pew, do that. If you want to do the step, do that. Come on. God's speaking to your heart. Believe Him. Believe Him. Give people something to see. Give people something to see. There ought to be something about our faith that people look at and go, wow. Wow. Not, oh no, oh boy, oh brother. It ought to amaze them. It ought to make no sense to them. She's going to play it through again. This year, if you're going to come tonight, come on this verse. Come on. God can do little stuff. And he can do big stuff, and it's all easy to him. So why not ask him for big stuff? I'm going to pray. Father, thank you that we can ask. You said in Psalm 2, ask of me, and I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. That would be nice, Lord. I know a lot of heathens that need Christ. Help me to be better about asking and believing that you can save them. Use me. No matter what my job, use me to get people close to you. Use me to help Christians get close to you. Use me to get lost people close to you. Because if they really see you, they'll want you. They'll realize what you could do. That guy got close to you on that stretcher. He wanted to be healed, but you said, hey, your sins are forgiven. Lord, may we be used in some way in somebody's life all the time. Thank you, Lord. Use us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.